Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Warmer and brighter Jeff, than the Fox Jeff, News Christmas tree that's on fire. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. Noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Reports, his daily show down in Iowa. Quite a good one, too. Check that one out. And the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL, where Jeff Stein is located. Hi, Jeff.
I missed an opportunity today.
What's that, man?
Well, I filled in on a national show, and I should have used that as the theme, but you know how – did you ever have a problem when you were doing the program from your home and doing the connection? Did you ever have everything work perfectly until 10 seconds before airtime?
Welcome to radio, man.
I know. So I'll have to make a mental note to fill with that theme in the future. How are you?
We had plan D was the Dixie Cup system. I had Patrick here with a Dixie Cup and a string, and I would – I just sit at home, hello. We just had to pull it tight. It's only 12 miles. Hopefully no kid hits it.
It's a long string, but you've affixed it with 3M tape. And so you've got a local product taking care of business.
Yeah, there you go. Doing well. Hope you're doing well here. I want to start with Mark Meadows. He seems a little conflicted. Yeah, that is. Did he describe his own book coming on out here as fake news? I mean, I think he actually did.
Well now his former boss did.
Which then his he did.
Boss, well, I think again, now I think what he was referring to is how it was construed. Now, here's the thing. When you make a comment, you can take it out of context or you can misconstrue it. But how many editors does a book go through?
A ton.
Okay. Even if it's a half a ton, right? So here's the other thing that strikes me. Meadows left a very safe seat in the House to become the short-term chief of staff to the President of the United States. And I think, you know, many people would say, well, look, when the president calls, you go into service. And that's irrespective of party. Okay, fine. How many members of the House left to work in the Biden administration? Same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, you know, you do that.
Yeah.
But Meadows has consistently wanted to stay on Trump's good side. Don't you think that you would have said, Mr. President, I'm going to do a book. I need a little scratch. Could you please take a look at it first? Could you have someone from your team take a look at it? I want to make sure there are no issues. I don't want any problems between us. And I'm not suggesting that the Donald would be sitting there, on a lounge chair by the Mar-a-Lago pool. There's your image. You're welcome.
Ugh.
But somebody on his side would be looking at it. So the fact that either they didn't have the Trump team vet it, that's curious, or if in fact they did vet it, there was nothing wrong with it. It was all factual, and it's only based upon what either the PR folks that fed this beast, what they thought was memorable, and then it got out of hand, or members of the media picking up the positive test as the thing. I don't know where it all went bad.
Yeah.
But quite obviously it went bad when, again, to your point, it's your book, Sparky.
Well, and that's the thing is, it's not like they're sharing stories that are not in the book. You wrote this. You brought up the point. If you want to be a Trump loyalist, which is fine, then do Devin Nunes. You basically leave your job and go work for his media company and basically become, a lapdog that way. You don't have to do a book. And it's almost like Meadows, he wanted to do the book, but then all of a sudden realized after the fact that, like, oh, boy, these people are not going to be happy with me. Like, it's a bad Brady Bunch episode or something like that, where he starts doing the rumor thing in the newspaper. Remember that? I remember that. Starts doing the rumor column in the school newspaper, and then everyone gets mad at him. that's kind of the same thing that's going on here. It's like, oh, I'm going to write this great book. And I don't think he's necessarily sharing extremely shocking things. I mean, I think you and I talked when Trump was sick that this sounded a lot more serious than people were letting on. And that when we found out that they basically put everything in the kitchen sink into the guy to try to keep the guy alive, that was kind of the confirmation. I don't think that any of that's necessarily shocking. It's just watching Meadows frantically say, I didn't say that, you know, pulling a Nathan Thurm.
What? First of all, channeling your inner Peter Brady. That's just lovely. That's just very well done. This book is 304 pages. I just looked it up. Okay. It's 304 pages. That's not a real hefty book.
No.
Okay. And so it got taken care of. You know, it got out there in pretty quick fashion. By the way, the president, the then president, wrote the blurb on the cover. Only because I'm looking at it. It's not like I read it. Okay, here's right there on the cover. The cover of a book which is entitled The Chief's Chief. And you see Trump, and behind him is Meadows. And in between them, on the cover, it says, quote, Mark was a great chief of staff, as good as it gets. We will have a big future together, unquote, President Donald J. Trump.
Heart, heart, heart.
XO. He put it on. That's his blurb. Okay. First of all, a great chief of staff, as good as it gets. He ought to know how many did he go through.
Yeah, he's I think he's at the baker's dozen at this point, right? I can't remember. How many have been to the end? Three?
Here's the thing. The president puts a blurb on the book and then tries to disclaim what's in the book to the point that Meadows is like, oh, did you really mean that big future together part? Then I better cement that because I don't think I have a separate future because Devin Nunes got the job that I thought I was going to get. The other guy started a social media platform, and he thought you were going to buy into that, and now he's going to have to compete with you, the Gitter platform. Oh, yeah. So some of this big future together is tenuous.
Oh, it seems like, you know, as someone pointed out, so the whole point just seems to be to get investors so he can get as much money as possible and run. And I think that that's kind of exactly what's going on there. But going back to Meadows says he's going to go talk to the 1-6 commission. It comes across, and Meadows he's getting more interesting by the day, but he's always been a guy that I think that tried to, although definitely on the more the far right side, tried to maintain the old status quo of you still have policy procedures, you still do things. And I think that was why he was willing to go talk to 1-6, as he realized there's no way on the planet Trump's going to get executive privilege here. So I might as well go talk to them now. He's now backing out of it. He went on. MSNBC this morning, and the comment that he made was to the point of, well, what they're really. He basically tells, you know, on air is like, oh, here's what they're really scared of. They're terrified of the phone records getting out, which should be a big red flag. That Meadows is saying that's what the Trump administration is most scared of because the telephone records do exist. They're not going to go away. That if the people get to see what exactly who is talking to who at what time they were talking to them. That basically there's going to be a lot of evidence there that there was far more coordination with the White House than they want to admit. So, I mean, he just can't get out of his own way at this point.
Meadows is now obviously fully back on, if he ever left, but back on Team Trump because of this news. This literally, since we've been talking. This is what's come on the Twitter machine, and it must be true because it's on Twitter.
Of course.
Meadows is suing Nancy Pelosi and the 1-6 committee. Meadows is suing them. He has filed a lawsuit. They are saying they will hold him in contempt of Congress, right? It's the Steve Bannon thing. So now he is suing, and I'm scanning this as I'm talking to you, so forgive me. They claim Mr. Meadows has consistently sought in good faith to pursue an accommodation with the committee where it could blah, blah, blah. We engaged in time. The committee adamantly refused to recognize the immunity, blah, blah, blah. As a result, Mr. Meadows, a witness, has been put in the untenable position of choosing between conflicting privilege claims and having to risk enforcement of the subpoena or abandoning blah, blah, blah. Thus, you got to love it when they end with thus. Thus, Mr. Meadows turns to the courts to say what the law is. That is a pair of stones right there, because what you're doing is saying
that's dragging him to the bottom of the ocean, by the way, just FYI.
I just simply said they were in possession. Yeah. So what he's basically doing is saying, before you get a chance to Bannonize me, I'm going to sue you to take it out of your hands and let a judge decide.
They're not going to. That's not going to happen. They're going to still. They'll still do business as usual, and they're going to still find them in contempt. They'll find them in contempt.
But will you get a lower court judge to stay enforcement of the subpoena while the other claims are litigated?
Nothing has happened to him yet. And here's the problem: you're doing a proactive lawsuit to basically stop a contempt of court filing that has not happened. No judge is going to allow that because you have to have the crime to basically or the occurrence to have the lawsuit. Correct?
One step back, because what they have done is they have given him a subpoena to compel him to testify and provide documentation. You can always go to court and challenge the propriety of the subpoena. And that's what it appears to me that he is doing. He's going to court and saying, I believe there are presidential claims that have to be litigated. And so I am going to ask a court to determine whether I have to comply with the subpoena. And by doing that, the only reason you do that is to get the judge to say, arguably, okay, well, if there's a meritorious claim, then we're going to freeze the subpoena, litigate the basic issue, or at least have a minor hearing on that to see if there should be injunctive relief. The committee's still going to operate. Committee's still going to do what they could do. But this is Meadows saying, okay, I saw what you did to Bannon. Nice work out of you. I'm going to go to court first to see about the propriety of the subpoena so we never get to contempt land.
Well, actually, I'm going to bring up another theory. I think he's trying to get back evidence he's already handed over to the 1-6 committee. He has handed over some of his own personal cell phone text message information. And he's in that information, he apparently has leaked that he indeed was talking to certain members of Congress about alternate delegates from the White House. Now, once again, we're talking he was the chief of staff of the White House at that time, coordinating with congressional members to put forward a second set of electors, even though there was no voter fraud. They have that. The other thing that they have right now is a presentation that he had done that for some reason he handed over, which talked about where everyone was going to be on January 6th. Clearly a coordinated game plan. I don't know if it's a PowerPoint presentation or whatever it was, but he did hand that over. They have both of those. I'm wondering if what he's trying to do now is sue to get that stuff back and prevent them from basically being able to use that as evidence, because he is now basically desperately trying to appeal back to Trump.
All right. So he has given up 6,000 pages of documents.
Yes.
For those of you playing our home game, that's 12 reams of copy paper. Okay. That's a lot. All right. Once he voluntarily gives things up, he took his finger off the checker. You can't take the move back, but it can limit anything that he has not voluntarily given. Like they issued a subpoena to Verizon for his phone records. He's trying to get that blocked. Blocking of anything else that he would have to give up by force that he hasn't given up already. Look, the stuff he's given up already, to your point, this is now a CNN report. In one November 6th text exchange with a member of Congress, Meadows reportedly said, "I love it," in a discussion about appointing alternate electors, although he said it would be highly controversial. Well, yeah, you think?
Yeah.
But now here's the other thing. Now, Meadows has never said he's going to claim the Fifth Amendment. Now they've subpoenaed Roger Stone, who immediately, of course, says, "I'm going to take the Fifth," because he has been down this road before and he knows what talking gets him into, namely big trouble. But I think what Meadows is simply doing is saying, I gave you stuff voluntarily. Now we need to stop, because he needs to save face, if nothing else, with Trump land. Because what if the court says, no, I'm sorry, you're going to the Gray Bar Hotel unless you follow the subpoena? Okay, now his back is against the wall, and he's not the same as Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon has a whole different streak in him, and so he's going to fight it regardless of what a lawyer says. And Meadows is like, you know, I got a family. I got a pretty good gig going. I'm not going to jail for you.
Meadows is the squealer in Mississippi Burning when that whole crew of people, you remember that scene where they basically try to identify him? You and I have talked about at some point within the Trump administration, someone who has real information is going to get called. And the 1-6, I don't think it's a coincidence that the 1-6 commission has focused on Meadows, and basically Meadows is now frantically trying to save face in the light of the fact that he is probably going to be that guy.
So you've gone from the Brady Bunch to Mississippi Burning. Could someone check Matt's thermos, please, to see what exactly
you said there. Nothing about the Nathan Thurm reference, the great Martin Short character, the lawyer from Saturday Night Live. Oh God,
I heard it, but I was so focused on my own line that I didn't go back, and so that is my fault. Okay.
All right.
If you drop Jiminy Glick on me during the break, I'll be with you.
I'm not going to be doing that. All right. We'll take a break. Come on back. We'll talk about the fight against Biden's mandates when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual weekly visit. And Jeff, Joe Biden, of course, the courts have struck down some of his attempts at mandates as far as vaccines in private businesses. The Congress right now is working on passing a resolution to basically say he can't do that on private businesses. Some Democrats, including Tester out of Montana, has said that they will vote along with that. It still won't override the veto, but still they're making the point. But the reality is there's a lot of people that have said if this gets to the Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court's already said is that private businesses can put mandates out, that they've said that. But they'll probably limit what the president can do. Probably government contractors will be able – he'll be able to regulate that. But very little else in the world, that's at least the speculation on what SCOTUS might do. Your thoughts on the attempts to undo any kind of vaccine mandates?
Near as I can tell, any of these vaccine mandates that have been challenged have been put on hold, have been set aside. Now, that's not dispositive in terms of ultimate disposition, but what happens is you challenge it in court and you say to the court, put an injunction on this to prohibit it from being enforced, because if it is later determined to be bad, the mandate, if it's illegal, people will be harmed in the meantime because they will be displaced from jobs, et cetera. And so then the judge looks at the government and says, all right, what evidence do you have to support at a facial level, basic level, that this is the least restrictive alternative? Mandates are the least restrictive alternative to get to your ultimate goal. And in every jurisdiction with different judges around the country, the government has not been able to come up with that basic case.
It should be noted in the courts, you're right, across the country, but right. Very specifically courts in conservative districts with Trump era judges that have been appointed, a lot of them in there. So California. This is not happening up in Massachusetts.
But again, it is enough of a mix of judges and jurisdictions that it's interesting. But here's the point that I think was missed this week. When Mayor de Blasio in New York put his mandate against private businesses in place, there were a lot of people who dismissed it. Frankly, a lot of people on both sides dismissed it and said, oh, you know, saddle your successor with this hassle. You know, what are you doing? The reality is municipalities, depending on the state law, but municipalities have much greater leeway in public health than the federal government. So the reality is there is a much better chance of Bill de Blasio's mandate going into effect legally than Joe Biden's, because of where it is being done. And I can guarantee you that if New York survives a challenge, these blue cities across the country are going to see that as their precedent, and the Biden administration is going to pay for the lawyers to help them.
Well, and they'll see it. They'll also see it in the blue suburbs too. That's for sure. But going back to the SCOTUS, I mean, I'm not mistaken. The Supreme Court has basically already ruled that a private business can regulate a vaccine mandate, and they can put that forward. Do you agree with the thought process that they'll probably come back and say the federal government can't do that to private business, but they could probably do that to the federal contractors?
That's an iffier one. You've got the extremes. Private businesses can do what they want to their own business. Government can do what it wants to its workers. The funny area is the government contractors. I would sooner think the court does say businesses can do what they want, and that can include a mandate. I think the contractors thing probably is going to ultimately be determined to be constitutional, and it may not even need the Supreme Court. It may be in the court that set it aside this week, because that's just on a temporary basis. That's without hearing on the full merit.
And if you're working on government sites, or say you've got a contract to work at a state park or a federal park, that basically then how are you going to have two different standards for the actual park employees versus the contractors that are working there?
Exactly, and that's the whole point of why. Because, again, nobody's forcing that contractor to take federal money.
It is interesting as well, and quickly here, that there are Republicans now that are starting to get upset because they're saying, why hasn't Biden mailed everyone a COVID test in the country? And they point to Germany. I think they pointed to Germany and Sweden. The first thing I said is, well, because Germany and Sweden have a very different healthcare system than the United States does. Sure. And that was even the press secretary came back and said, yeah, who's going to pay for this again?
Well, you know, I have enough of an issue with the big pharma companies saying, oh, yeah, our shots work. You know, Pfizer today said our shot works against Omicron. If you get the booster, well, who pays for that? So I worry about that sort of thing. But the idea of Joe Biden's going to start mailing. I see this scene from The Jerk when Steve, to use your references, to writes checks to everybody because the Optigrab didn't. Not going to send you a test. That's stupid.
Well, and the reality is you do have options out there for those. By the way, I get my booster tomorrow at the VA. Thank you, taxpayers. Thanks, my military.
You're welcome.
My military service paying off. Books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com.